Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Sabbath Services. Today, we're going to cover a multitude of different things. First of all, I want to say that this book in the Closet of Vatican is not a pamphlet we have produced, but it was written by Friedrich Martel. That's a German accent on a French name. Okay, and he was a homosexual and allowed to interview all the top people in the Vatican, and guess what they are? Okay, there it is. Full woman's dress by the Pope. And I was surprised in reading it. What he has done, he has normalized homosexuality in the Catholic Church. It's been there all along. All right? Now, let's look at what we're going to face today. And how do we understand right from wrong, good from evil, and a mixture of the two? Because no lie can really work without some truth. So we need to be aware of that, all right? So let's come here to Isaiah 8 and verse 19. Isaiah 8 and verse 19. Now here is the test. And then when we go through some other things, we will end up to see how far the so-called Christian churches are going to placate the world. All right? Acts 8 and verse 19. Now, this is what they're doing today. And when they say to you, all right, seek them that have familiar spirits. And this is what they're doing. They're even teaching it to little kids in the public schools. And if I could give a little advice to all of those fighting against the gender change in the schools, and who gave them the authority to do it anyway? Okay? The ones you ought to sue is the National Teachers Education Association. Okay? Because it all comes from them. Okay? Familiar spirit, that's what's behind all the things that are going on now. And to wizards who peep and mutter. So the answer is, but should not a people seek unto their God? Isn't that what they say? We'll show you how to come to God. But do they really bring them to God? Should the dead be sought on behalf of the living? Verse 20, to the law, that's what they don't like. And the testimonies, so that's the Old Testament and the New Testament. If they do not speak according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Okay? But what's going to happen at the end time? Come to Matthew 24. Okay? We will see this. And we will see that it is coming. And coming in great waves. All right? Verse 24. Okay? For there shall arise false Christ. Now, if you go online and look up those who claim to be Jesus Christ today, you will find that there are four living men claiming to be Christ. Okay? And false prophets. And they shall present great signs and wonders. Now, think about that. Remember what it says, Matthew 13. That the false prophet does? Okay. Calls fire down from heaven. And you see, what's going to happen is, it will, if you see it, you got to believe it. No, you go by the law and the testimonies, not what they do. Okay. Great signs and wonders. So here's Satan's target. All the other people he has deceived. Okay. In order to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Behold, I have foretold it to you. Then he'll say, well, he's in the desert. He's in an office building. Now, I want to cover something else. When Mel Gibson did the movie The Passion of the Christ, okay, that was what? 12 years ago? Somewhere around there, about that. So Dolores and I went to the theater to see it because I wanted to see what it was. And what I saw was the man dressed up supposedly like Jesus with long hair. Okay. Well, Jesus didn't have long hair. Okay. And we need to ask the question, there was another one recently called The Chosen. Okay. So the question becomes, can a man really play in a movie, which they make, the part of Jesus? When Jesus was the only begotten. Okay. Now, that's not like taking an idol and carving it and making it, but that is close to making an idol, because you have someone impersonating Christ. So, when that comes along, even though they use enticing words, it's better not to go see it. Okay? Now, back in the times of the ancient cities of the pagans, they had stone statues of their gods naked with all the sex organs showing. Okay? And you can just see it. You know, a little 5-year-old boy or girl going down to the shopping with mom, and they walk by this naked man, and a little girl says, "Mommy, what is that?" See? Well, today, they have it on the internet. And today, one of the worst things for kids on the internet is what? TikTok. And what is it promoting full time? By the Chinese? Gender change. And I saw a report by Tucker. Okay. He's been on this big time. And he found that the hospital of the University of San Francisco in San Francisco advertises for sex change operations. And most of their referrals come from teachers connected with the NRA, National Teachers Association. Okay? Now, how did they get this legal authority? See? And when he did that, yes, it was Tucker. He did it. The next night, it was taken down on every hospital in America. Okay? So they know what they are doing. But let me tell you something. God is not going to continue to put up with that very long. So whoever is going to go after them, you better go after them big time and sue them for so much money that they will have to stop. Otherwise, God's judgment will come upon all the rest of us. Now then, let's look at some other things. Now, here's a book, very interesting. Okay? One came from Darlene Redaway, and the other one came from Robert Bowie Johnson. Okay. The Return of the Gods by Jonathan Cahn. Now, he did an excellent job in laying out all of the pagan gods. Did that in good order. Okay. And he highlighted, in particular, the decision by the Supreme Court in outlawing Roe versus Wade. He says here, how do you return to God? It is as simple as opening one's heart and life to the love of God, to give him one's sins and burdens, one's all, to receive him into one's life. Let his presence come into one's heart, his light into the darkness, his forgiveness, his cleansing, his word, his peace, his spirit, into every part of one's life, to turn away from all darkness, all idols, all gods, to put one's faith in Yeshua, Jesus, as one's Lord and Savior, and to begin following him as his disciple all the days of one's life. What's missing?
Commandment keeping.
What else?
Repentance.
Baptism.
Baptism.
See? All right. Now, let's read what he puts here in his epilogue, because what we need to know is he a true prophet of God or not? So we have to examine it by the law and the testimony, right? Okay. So he highlights that as a great mark of returning to God. Let me read here. The fact that the return of the gods was completed on the day of the Supreme Court after about 50 years overturning its ruling on abortion is significant. Yes, it is. But it's turned to the state. So they have just pushed the problem back where it originally belonged. This book covers the gods and their works in our day. The Supreme Court ruling was a turning back of Molech. Well, if it was complete, it would have to be in all 50 states, right? It was an act of life against death. It was a stand against the gods and breaking down their altars. It was a sign to all of those who seek to walk in the ways of God and who called upon his name to take encouragement, heart, strength, hope, and courage, and to live unbowed in the face of the gods. It is time to be strong and of good courage. It is time to be bold. It is time to let go of all fear, concern, and take a stand against the darkness for the light. The darkness will end. Who's going to end it? Here's a perfect example of going part of the way, but not finishing what God says. As it is written, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Much greater is he that is in you that is in the world. Okay? So he talks about renewal, but again, he doesn't talk about baptism. Renewal and restoration, okay? And all of that. Okay? Now, let me read you a summary that I did on what's missing with Jonathan Cahn. Now, could God use him in the future and call him to repentance? That becomes the question. We don't know. Okay? Here's what he does. When he's with the Jews, he does all the Jewish laws of Judaism, including the prayer shawl to cover his head. Many people don't know that. And he's a leading rabbi among the Jews.
Number two, he keeps the 15th Passover and doesn't understand the true Passover of the 14th, which is the day Jesus the Christ died. See? So he's keeping the Passover of the Jews, their traditional Passover. Here's another one, and this is the big one. He teaches Jews on Friday night, which is fine. I do not know if he has Sabbath services for the Jews on the Sabbath day or not. But then he accepts Protestants and Catholics on Sunday and accepts their change to Sunday as a day of worship for the Gentiles. Okay. Number four, he does not teach Sabbath to the Gentiles. In other words, he teaches Friday night to the Jews and then he goes Sunday morning to the Protestants, but he doesn't tell them they need to repent of Sunday. Okay. And they need to keep the Sabbath. All right. Now, in his book, he brings out many parallels between America and Israel, but does not have a clue that we are, in fact, the end-time nations of the 10 tribes of Israel. Which would be more powerful if he would do it. But you see, he would lose a lot of followers. And he would lose a lot of money. So, Jonathan Cahn's got one foot in the establishment of the Jews and the same foot in the establishment of the Protestants and Catholics. And he has one foot with Bible principles. So, let's hope he repents. Now, I got a phone call this week from a man who said that he's working with the two witnesses. Okay? Yes. And that this man received $2,500 to go protest against Gerald Fleury in Edmonds, Oklahoma, where his home base is. Okay? So he called me and told me all about it. And I said, huh, where are they located? Well, they're located in America. Huh. How are they dressed? Well, they just wear clothes. I said, well, they can't be the two witnesses because Revelation 11 says they have to be in Jerusalem and they have to be clothed in sackcloth and they can't start their ministry until 1260 days before the resurrection on Pentecost. So, they're not the two witnesses. He got mad. Okay. All right. Now, let's look at some other things. All of these are things that happen within the last couple of weeks, which are setting the stage for the final events in the book of Revelation. Here we go. Chrislam confirmed. There it is, the Pope with all the Muslims and some Orthodox Christians, okay? And in their declaration that they signed, which was adopted by the UN, does not mention the name of Christ. Now, there are about, when you count all the ones who were with it, they're well close to 2.5 billion people that will go for this. Okay. So what's going to happen to the Protestants? We'll see. How many will come to repentance? We'll see. But all the churches of God, wherever they are, had better be preaching repentance and baptism and Sabbath keeping and law keeping and do so toward the Protestants. Now, it's not going to make you popular, but it's true. Now, here's one which I call Hitler's dream fulfilled. What do I mean by that? Here's the headline. Germany. German Chancellor Olaf Scholz says armed forces must be best equipped in Europe. Now, what are we looking at? Hitler's dream was what? To control all of Europe. And now they even have Finland and Sweden in it. Okay? Best equipped. And guess what? There are some Germans going over to Ukraine to fight with the Ukrainians against the Russians. Okay? So we'll see where this goes. Okay? German Chancellor Olaf Scholz has urged Europe to take more responsibility in NATO, with Vladimir Putin aiming to make Russia an imperial power on the continent. That was the whole struggle with Germany and Russia down through the ages. Okay? So he said, it's a turning point in European history, underlining the importance of Germany's armed forces in this new situation. Okay? Now, they have a ceremony every year. Now, there was a movie out with it, I forget the name of it, but where the descendants of the good Germans who tried to assassinate Hitler, the Valkyrie. Now, here it will come around this way. Instead of sending armed forces in to control them, they will all join together because we are the reformed Germans. We learned the lessons of Hitler. Okay? Now, that will last until the beast power comes in, and we'll have to see what happens at that time. Now, at the same time, guess what happened for Israel in the Holy Land? Okay? 5 red heifers in Israel, and they got them from Texas. Okay? Red heifers, they already inspected them in Texas, and there are supposedly no flaws in them. So we'll have to see what the official rabbis in Jerusalem do when they see the red heifers, because they say that they can't proceed to make a temple until they have a red heifer and have the ashes to make things clean. See? And oh, when they get that, that's going to make the Jews say, oh, look at all of this. See? Now remember, why did God destroy Jerusalem in the 5th century B.C.? Because they sinned against God. They came back, they were partially reformed, they built the temple, they reinstituted the priesthood, Ezra and the great synagogue canonized the Old Testament and put it into the block Hebrew letters that we have today. Before that, it was in the script, but there was a break off of some of the priests who went to Samaria to set up a counterfeit temple in Samaria. Okay? I think that was Sanballat that did that. Yeah. Okay? But they only had the first 5 books. Now, why did they only have the first 5 books in Samaria when they set up that temple? Because the other books of the Old Testament name what city as the place that God had chosen? Jerusalem. See? So, just like with the fake news today, if it isn't there, don't worry about it. Fake news says, if we don't report it, it didn't happen. Okay? Same thing. Okay? So here come the 5 red heifers. Now, if they prove to be unspotted by anything, I mean, even one white hair disqualifies it. Okay? And that's what's happened. We've had about a half a dozen of these come down through the years, you know, and I've gotten things from different people say, oh, they got the red heifer. I said, we'll have to wait and see. Now, I wonder why they got five. I don't know what that's going to do, but they got five. Now, if it is true that they are unspotted or unblemished, then guess what? What has to follow next after they sacrifice that and they don't need a temple to sacrifice the red heifer? Okay? They have to understand where to put the temple. And the temple is not on where the Mosque of Omar is. Now, if you don't have our DVD on the location of the temple, you let us know and we'll send it to you. Okay? So, that happens the same week that the German chancellor says that they've got to strengthen the Weimar. Okay? Now, let's look at another one. Xi tells Putin, China is ready to partner with Russia to lead the world. Okay? We'll see what happens. The two sides need to enhance coordination and cooperation under multilateral framework, including Shanghai Cooperation Organization, the Conference of Interaction and Confidence Building Measures in Asia, and the BRICS to promote solidarity, mutual trust among various partners, expand practical cooperation, safeguard security interests of the region, as well as common interest in developing countries and emerging markets, Chinese foreign minister said. Okay. Now, why is China going out to so many different nations to expand its influence, to gain raw materials, and to gain food? Okay. And the biggest prize that America just gave them was Afghanistan. Why? Because they have a lot of rare earth minerals you can't get any place else. So China will have the corner on the rare earth minerals. But more importantly, that opens up the Khyber Pass from China into Afghanistan to make transportation going to the West a whole lot faster. See? They have the railroad plan going. I think it's called the road and something else. They have that. It goes into Kazakhstan. And they figured out a way to get things to Europe very quickly. The gauge of tracks in China are of one width, and the gauge of tracks in Europe are of another width. So, how are you going to solve the problem? Well, very simply. You just have a big terminal where they take all of these containers and take them from one train to the other train and ship them off to Europe. Now, what they want it coming through the Khyber Pass and in past Iran and Iraq to come to the Mediterranean. Now, what does that open up? See? Well, we'll see tomorrow at Trumpets. That'll be important. Okay. Then we have this climate change nonsense. How many saw the report last night about what the Swedes are doing to get rid of all of the Middle Easterners there in their country because they're rioting, they're killing, they're setting off bombs and everything like that? Okay. So it's going to happen. There's a backlash in Sweden. Let's see if it will be here. All right. Now, Texas Church Bingo Event drops drag queen. Okay? Drops drag queen involved in school shooting plot. Now to the Christian church. The first Christian church and part of the Disciples of Christ denomination openly supports LGBT people. Now, it's going to run from A to Z, all the different sex changes that are coming, okay? They had an advertisement for drag queen. Trisha Flowers would be one of the two performers at the sold-out event. So where is the Christian church going today? Okay. Well, Jonathan Cahn has said the gods are retreating. But this shows they're expanding. So we'll have to wait and see what's going to happen. How is it going to be? All right. Now then, let's come back here to Proverbs, the fourth chapter. Let's see something very important for us to do, especially in this age, because we have so many incidences, especially watching television. Boom! All of a sudden, something real sinful comes up on the screen, right? Okay. So we have a lot of things coming into our minds. And remember, everything you hear, see, or whatever is recorded on the spirit of man that we all have. Okay? That's why even in surgeons doing some brain surgery have hit the part of the brain which causes the person to swear. Now, I don't know what that means. See? But it just shows, where did they learn it? Okay. How did it get there? Now think about all of us, what do we have in our minds? Where did it come from? Came from our education. Came from movies. Came from entertainment. Came from music. And think about this for a minute. Why do they have to have music in every store that you go to? I don't know, it drives me in and out of the Knob Hill where I do most of my shopping. I've said to the manager several times, you got the worst music in the world. Well, it comes down from corporate. Okay. Why does it come down from there? Satan wants to control everybody's minds by having them occupied with different things, whether they see them, whether they hear them, whether they read them, whether they act them out. Okay? So what does that do? How are we to respond and react to that way? Okay? Let's come to Proverbs 4, verse 13. Now this becomes very important because we need to follow exactly what we're told here. Keep hold of instruction, do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. And that's the instruction of God. Enter not into the path of the wicked, nor go into the way of evil men. Avoid it. Do not go in it. Turn from it. Pass on. Now look at that. Avoid, don't go. Turn, pass on. Four things we need to do. For they do not sleep. Now think of this in relationship to this whole woke thing that is sweeping the world. They do not sleep except when they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. And that's what they want to do to the whole world. So, rather than the gods are retreating, as Jonathan Cahn has said, they're just shifting gears and coming another way. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. Now, that's perfectly, when the bread, that means the way that they live, okay, eating the bread of wickedness, and this is what you see on television. And some of the movies that they advertise on television, I tell you, even the advertisements are satanic. And one movie that's coming out is called what? Did you see it? Lucifer. You talk about boldness and evil, huh? Okay, verse 18. Here's us. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shines more and more to the perfect day. See? The way of the wicked is as darkness, and they know not at what they stumble. My son, attend to my words. That's why we need the whole Bible, and we need to live by every word of God, see? Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Okay? What does that go to? The whole sum of what we have to do as true Christians. To love God, how? With all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul, with all our strength, with all our being. Now, that's what we are to do. And that's the defense we have against the world out here. Okay? For they are life to those who find them, and health to all your flesh. Now, verse 23 shows the active thing to put all of this together and what we need to do. Above all, okay, remember that. Above all, guard. So protect what you see, protect what you hear, protect what you do. Guard the door of your mind, and it could also be translated heart. Okay. How? With diligence. So one way I do that is I mute nearly all commercials. And if there are things I don't want to watch, I go to another channel, but I haven't found the blank blue channel of what I have now with cable that I used to have when I had the old television set. Okay. Now notice, here's the reason. For out of it are the issues of life. The very thing we're called to do is to live our life in Christ and keep his commandments. Okay? Then it says, put away from you a deceitful mouth and divisive lips, put far from you. Let your eyes look right on. Let your eyelids look straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and all your ways shall be established. Do not turn to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove your foot from evil. Okay? Perfect instructions of what we need to do in the New Testament. See? Now, let's come to Colossians 3 and see how we do it. Okay? Colossians, the third chapter. Now, this is quite a thing. We'll come back to Colossians 2 to review when we get to the second half. Okay. Now notice, we have to be active in doing these things because we're still in the flesh and because we have not had the law of sin and death removed from us. But as we will see, we have had with baptism, receiving the Holy Spirit, okay? We have the earnest of God's eternal life, okay? So here's what we must do. Colossians 3. Therefore, if you have been raised together with Christ, that is out of the watery grave of baptism, seek the things that are above, which are contained in the Bible. Where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God, set your affections on the things that are above and not on the things that are on the earth. Doesn't that agree with Proverbs 4? Okay. Yes. For you have died. Now, how have you died? If you're dead, why is he writing to them? Okay. Because they died in the watery grave with Christ, conjoined to his death. Okay. For you have died and your life has been hid together with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is manifested, then we shall also be manifested with him in glory. And John writes in 1 John 3 that when Christ is manifested, we will see him exactly as he is because we'll be like him. See? Now think about that. Think about what it's going to be like. And Jesus said that the righteous, their faces shall shine like the sun. See? Think about that. Whenever temptations and difficulties come along that tend to lure you away. Okay? Now, verse 5. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. Sexual immorality, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. Okay? Think about that. And if you let all of these things of modern society, from television, from your smartphone, from your dumb phone, from your iPad, from whatever you get from music, okay? If you let all those things crowd out the Word of God and the Spirit of God, you're going to end up being very lukewarm, and when the catastrophe comes, you won't have strength to stand. That's just the way it'll be, okay? Verse 7. Among whom you also once walked when you were living in these things. But now you should put off all these things, wrath, indignation, malice, blasphemy, and foul language from your mouth. Okay, then all the rest of it is, do not lie to one another, seeing you have put off the old man together with his deeds, and have put on the new man, and putting it on continuously, who is being renewed in the knowledge or in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. And God is no respecter of persons in it. So living in this world with all the things that we have pressing in upon us, we need to use God's Spirit and God's Word to make sure that we are staying close to God. That's why. Prayer every day, study every day, putting all of these things together. And it's more urgent now than before because with these prophecies that I just read to you being fulfilled, the last parts of the main things of Daniel 11 and the book of Revelation are being moved into position. Okay? Now, one thing to add to it, and then we'll take a break. The other thing that is coming is what's going to happen to America and Britain. The Queen died, and Charles III is going to be king. What's going to happen? So let's go ahead and take a break, and we'll be back in 20. All right, now let's continue on. Since Monday's going to be Feast of Trumpets, let's come to Leviticus 23. And what we're going to do some surveying. So we will see how the Old Testament and New Testament work together like a hand in glove. Verse 1, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them concerning the appointed feast of the Lord. Now you go back to Genesis 1:14, where God set the sun and moon in their positions for days and months and seasons and appointed feast. Okay? He did that on the fourth day. Some people want to know why he did it on the fourth day. Well, because everything he created after the fourth day, especially the birds and the things that he created in the water, they need to know where the sun is and where the moon is in how they live and function. For example, to this day, the sea turtles come at the set appointed time of the moon to come and lay their eggs up on the sand of the shores. Okay. And they find their way by the placement of the sun or the moon. So that's why he did it on the fourth day, I think. Okay. Appointed feast of God. Now notice, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocation, even these are my appointed times. Now, he didn't say that he gave them to the Jews alone. Okay? And remember, there were 12 tribes of Israel, not one. Notice the first one. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest, a holy convocation. You shall not do any work. It is the Sabbath to the Lord in all your dwellings. Now, you don't have to turn there, but we'll quote it. Mark 2, verse 27. Therefore, the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath. Now, it's very interesting in the Greek because it is in the possessive tense, meaning he owns it. Okay. So, if Jesus owns the Sabbath, the question remains for the Protestants, why do they keep Sunday? Which then raises another question. Can a man change a commandment of God to suit his own desire? No. See. What happens when that occurs? All you have to do is look at the world today. Okay? Then he says, verse 4, these are the appointed feast of the Lord, holy convocations, which you shall proclaim in their seasons. Then it lists the Passover, Feast of Unleavened Bread, Day of Pentecost, Feast of Trumpets, Day of Atonement, Feast of Tabernacles, Last Great Day, laid out all in Leviticus 23. Okay? Now, that's why I'm not going into detail in them, because we're going to do some comparisons here. Now, we've already covered it concerning the Sabbath. Okay? So let's come back here to Colossians, the second chapter that we covered last week, but we'll just review it again this week and see the structure of it, and then we will see, well, what about in the New Testament? See? Now, as we're turning back to Colossians again, this time the second chapter, remember the incident when the rich man came to Jesus and said, "Oh, good master, what should I do to receive eternal life?" And Jesus said, "Why call me good? There's one good, and that's God." Now stop and think about that for a minute. Why did he say the only one who was good was God in heaven? Because in the flesh, the only begotten through Mary, he inherited in his physical being the law of sin and death. What she had to have in order for him not to sin and to become the perfect sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. So therefore, he didn't mention the Sabbath day when talking to the young man. He said, keep the commandments. Well, everybody in Judah and Jerusalem kept the Sabbath in those days. No question about it. They knew where the temple was. They understood that. Okay. So he listed the commandments that apply to the inner relationships of people. Okay. That doesn't mean the Sabbath shouldn't be kept, because in Mark 2:27, he's Lord of the Sabbath. Okay? Now let's look again, survey Colossians 2. Now, we're going to see, as we go along, a pattern. Okay? It is, number one, a warning. So you might make that a warning. And then we will see there is B, the truth. And it's A, B, A, B, A, B, four times coming down through the chapter. So let's pick it up here in verse 3. That is, in God the Father and Jesus Christ, verse 3, and whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, that is pertaining to what God wants us to know. Verse 4. A, warning. Now this I say that so that no one may deceive you by persuasive speech. And that's what people get persuaded by. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I'm with you in the spirit, rejoicing and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith. Therefore, A, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, be walking in him. So he's telling them to walk in the way of the Lord as they had received it. Okay? That's A. Okay? Continuing with A, being rooted and built up in him, and being confirmed in the faith exactly as you were taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Okay? Then the next verse is a warning, again. Because to hold to the truth and live by the truth, as you know, we have to be faithful and diligent. And that's one of the reasons that we have the Sabbath every seventh day. Because if we didn't have it every seventh day, what would happen? We'd all get wandering off in different directions. Okay? So here it is. A again, be on guard. Okay? Now go back and read verse 4. That no one may deceive you. Be on guard, verse 8, so that no one take you captive through philosophy. Now these were equivalent to the priests of the pagan temples. Remember Paul came to Athens? They had devotions and statues everywhere, and even the devotion to the unknown God. So Paul was inspired to tell him when he was talking to all of the leading think tanks of their day at the Acropolis, I saw you had a devotion to the unknown God. Him, I'm going to preach to you. Okay, so he preached about God who created all men, Christ, they need to repent, and so forth. Okay, be on guard so that no one take you captive through philosophy and vain deceit according to the traditions of men, according to the elements of the world, and not according to Christ. Now then, what does that do for all traditions that men have devised? Think about it now. The Catholic Church is nothing but tradition. And in this conclave of Islam, they don't mention the name of Jesus Christ. Amazing. Okay. So, Sunday keeping is what? A tradition. Okay. What he says here, according to the elements of the world and not according to Christ. Okay. All right, here we come back to B. For in him, that is in Christ, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, not in the philosophy and the teachings of men. And you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. See? Above everything in the world, above all the religions in the world. Okay? In whom you have been circumcised with a circumcision not made by hands. All right? That's the circumcision of the heart. That's getting rid of the carnal mindedness with receiving the Spirit of God. And the only way is through repentance and baptism and the receiving of the Holy Spirit of God. See? So think about that in relationship to the next time you see Franklin Graham on television say, pray this little prayer with me. See? That's not going to bring you to Christ. Because there needs to be repentance. He said, forgive me my sins. Didn't say what sin is. Sin is a transgression of the law. See, that's in the New Testament. Okay. You have been circumcised with a circumcision not made by hands in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Okay. How does that work? When you have the Spirit of God, you are always going to be on guard so that you don't go sinning. Okay? Now notice, our dedication to God, this ties in with Romans the 6th chapter. Having been buried with him in baptism, by which you have also been raised with him through the inner workings of God who has raised him from the dead. Okay. For you who were once dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he is made alive with him, having forgiven all of your trespasses. All of your sins, all of your trespasses, everything. And has blotted out the note of debt against us with the decrees of our sins. Now, that's the best translation of that. The Protestants believe that he nailed the commandments to the cross. But that's not what it says. What was nailed to the cross? Jesus Christ, right? What did he represent? He represented a sin offering for all of humanity, past, present, and future. Because he's the one who made us. He's the one who made Adam and Eve. And all of us have the genes and chromosomes which came from them. Okay? All right, now notice. Having blotted out the note of debt against us with the decrees of our sins, which was contrary to us. Now, are any of the laws of God contrary to us? Or are they not what we should be doing? All you have to do is look at the world today and see how they're violating all the commandments of God. And what is the world like today? Well, Jonathan Cahn has it right in that respect, the return of the gods. Okay. Decrees of our sins, which was contrary to us, he has taken it away, having nailed it to the cross. Okay. Now that's quite a thing. That's a good summary of everything that Jesus did right there. Okay. Now verse 15. After stripping the principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them and has triumphed over them in it. That means through the crucifixion, he has conquered all of the evil of all the things of Satan and the sins of the world. But he does not apply that sacrifice except to only those who truly repent and God calls. Okay? Because the ones that God called, it works like this in every one of our lives. Here you're going along, your life is all messed up, you don't know what anything there is about God, and what you know about God, you can't find anywhere that you're looking. And then God has mercy and reaches down and does something in your life, and it's kind of like turning on a light. Bing! Okay? And you begin to understand what God has said in his word. Now then, let's ask a question. Were the Colossians in Christ? Yes. Have they had their sins forgiven through the baptism of Christ? Received the circumcision of the heart? Yes. Okay. What was their conduct? How was the rest of the community looking at them? Because Colossae was a pagan city. And so now they were doing things that formerly they saw the Jews doing. Because the only ones who kept the Sabbath and the holy days were the Jews wherever they were scattered with their synagogues. Okay? And where did Paul go first? To the synagogue. I imagine the different synagogue rulers dreaded to see Paul come and visit their synagogue. Because almost every place he went, it ended up being a riot. Either in the synagogue or out in the city. Okay? Why? Because he was going against Judaism, which said you can't even be in the same room with Gentiles. Okay? So in a synagogue, what did they have? They had the section for the men, section for the women, section for the proselytes who had to be circumcised in order to be there. Now, here Paul comes, baptizing, and they're not circumcised in the flesh because they're receiving the circumcision of the heart through receiving the Holy Spirit. Okay? Now, what do they do and how does their behavior change that makes other people criticize them? Okay? Happened like this with me. I was cooking at this restaurant. It was Kibbe's Drive-In. Okay. And I began to learn about everything. God was calling me. And I knew I had to keep the Sabbath. First thing I quit doing was eating my bacon and tomato sandwich every night before I went on shift. Okay. And when I quit it, the first thing I noticed, I wasn't burping all night. Huh. See? So, was God right? Don't eat the unclean things? Yes. Okay. So then, I told the manager, now I need to have off from Friday night to Saturday night, sunset to sunset. And he looked at me and said, well, why do you want that? I said, because of my religion. And he looked at me and said, when did you become religious?
See?
And keeping the Sabbath was a difficult thing. So he said, all right, I'll look at the schedule. So he went back and looked at the schedule, and he came back and he said, can't do it. So I said, could I look at the schedule? So I went back there and I saw a way I could do it. Friday in the daytime, I could come. Okay. That would be from 8 to 4. Okay. And the chef would have Friday off. And he would love that because the chef had to prepare for the weekend. So I said, all right. If you can give the chef Friday off, I'll come in and work. And then, after sundown on Saturday, I'll come in for the graveyard shift and work from 1 till 8. So he accepted it because he didn't want to lose me. Okay. But the first thing he said was, when did you become religious? All right? Now, read verse 16 with that. Okay. Therefore, do not allow anyone to judge you. Anyone who? Not in the church. Anyone living around you. See? Because now you're doing things differently. You are not coming to the pagan temple. You're not coming to the synagogue. See? Do not allow anyone to judge you in eating or in drinking, because they had a lot of, you know, let's get drunk and all that sort of thing. We have them today. Now notice, with regard to a festival. Now how can anyone judge you about a festival you're keeping if you're not supposed to keep it? So, Protestants say, this does away with keeping them. This does away with the Sabbath. No, just the opposite. It's showing that's what they were doing. With regard to a festival or new moon, now that's a calculated Hebrew calendar. Okay? Or the Sabbaths. Huh. Now, it doesn't say, don't be keeping these because those are for the Jews. It says, don't let anyone judge you in your keeping these. Why? Okay, verse 17. Which are a foreshadow of the things that are coming, but the body of Christ, meaning let the body of Christ, those in the church, make judgments concerning the festivals and Sabbaths. Okay? All right? Now, isn't that interesting? How is prophecy understood? Got a big, thick book. God's Plan for Mankind, revealed by His Sabbath and Holy Days. Tells what? The foreshadowing of all the things to come. See? And gives us understanding, especially in these days, of the book of Revelation. And the things that we read earlier of what's happening, all the pieces are being put in their proper positions for the final fulfillment in preparation for the return of Christ. So that's what it's doing. Okay? Which are a foreshadow of the things that are coming, but the body of Christ. Now then again, A, do not allow anyone to defraud you of the prize in doing His will, in self-abasement and worship of angels, intruding into things he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his own carnal mind. See? That's what we have in the world, right? Where did we start? Isaiah 8:19, right? To the law and the testimony.
Okay.
Verse 19. And not holding fast to the head. All right. If you do the things of the world in place of doing the things of God, you are not beholding the head who is Christ. Okay. Now notice. And not holding fast the head, from whom the whole body, being supplied and knit together by joints and bands, is increasing with the increase of God. Okay? So, this tells us not to do the things that the pagans do. All right? Now, let's look at some of the things. Let's come to 1 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. We know about the Sabbath. Paul taught on the Sabbath. They kept the Sabbath day. Okay. We also know this. When was Christ crucified? He was crucified on the 14th day of the first month, the Passover day. That is the Passover day. Okay. The Jews do it on the 15th. Because of several reasons, I won't go into it, but we have, you know, Judaism, a revelation of Moses, or a religion of men, and we have scripturalism versus Judaism, which is an in-depth study in it, okay? But let's read what Paul told the Corinthians, who were former pagans, and in a city that was as sexualized as anything we have in the modern world. And even in the church, sin got so bad within the church that they knew that a man was sleeping with his stepmother, and they didn't do anything about it. Okay? So God says here in verse 4, 1 Corinthians 5, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together in my spirit together with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, he had to be put out. You can't have overt, active sin like that, and everybody's talking and gossiping about it and saying, oh, well, that must not be too bad a thing with the grace of God. You know, that's what they do today. Okay? How do you think that the church, the so-called Christian church, came to have the drag queen for celebration of their bingo games? Huh. And then they had special services for adults beginning at 8:30. I wonder what those were like. Okay. In a church called Christian. Obviously, they don't read the Bible. So he says, your glorying is not good. Don't you know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Now here we're going to learn a lesson. What is the Feast of Unleavened Bread all about? Okay. Verse 7. Therefore, purge out the old leaven. That's what God says. Right? Get all the leaven out of your house. I don't want to see it any place. And that's for the days of unleavened bread, the feast that we keep, and we see that they will keep. They kept. So that you may become a new lump. That's called conversion. Okay? And Christ, what did he say about the broken bread? This is what? My body, which is broken for you. Okay. Now we are to become a new lump, even as you are unleavened, because they unleavened their homes. For Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. And then we find in 1 Corinthians 11 about how to keep the Passover and taking of the unleavened bread and the wine. Okay? For Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. For this reason, Let us keep the feast. So what were the Colossians doing? Keeping the feast, right? And don't let anyone judge you for doing it.
Okay.
Let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth.
Okay.
So that's what the Feast of Unleavened Bread is. So what do we find so far in the New Testament? Christ is the Lord of the Sabbath. He owns it. Christ died on the Passover day. He is our sacrifice. We are to keep the Passover. We are to keep the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Okay? Now, let's go on and see some other things. All right? Let's come to Acts, the second chapter. Okay? Now, let's go to Acts, the second chapter, while we're turning there. We can also know that the Ten Commandments were given to Israel, all gathered around Mount Sinai on the day of Pentecost. Okay? Now, it's a little technical to get all of that lined up, but we've got all that taken care of. Okay? Now, notice, Jesus told them, you go to Jerusalem and you stay there until you are endued with power. Okay? So chapter 2 shows when that happened. And when the day of Pentecost, that is the 50th day, now when we get to that, we'll explain how to do that. Now notice the next phrase, was being fulfilled. In other words, the Jews were there at the temple keeping it. Okay. And this is why it had to be at the temple that the Spirit of God was given. Because if it was given in Galilee, you think that it would have been accepted? You think they would have believed that was the hand of God? No. It had to be where God placed his name, that he gave his Spirit to those who repented on that day, the day of Pentecost, the same day that God gave the commandments to the children of Israel. Okay? So, suddenly there came from heaven a sound like the rushing of a powerful wind and filled the whole house where they were sitting, and appeared to them divided tongues as of fire and sat upon them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other languages as the Spirit gave them the words to proclaim. And this was to announce about Christ, his death, his crucifixion, and his resurrection to whom first? The Jews. Where? Right at the temple. So this was a powerful witness. Now, question, what if they weren't there on Pentecost? They wouldn't have received the Holy Spirit. See? And who were the only ones that received the Holy Spirit, even though they saw what? The power of speaking in different languages. Well, after it was all done, here's what Peter said. Verse 36, chapter 2. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know with full assurance, not a single doubt, that God has made the same Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now remember, that's after the apostles were seeing him and with him for 40 days. So they knew. You talk about conviction, because not only did they see him, they heard him speak, they understood what he was telling them, and they had their minds opened up with the coming of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Verse 37, and after hearing this, they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the other apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? See? So the thing is this, when people find themselves sinners, what should they do? Repent and be baptized. You don't hear that today. Jonathan Cahn doesn't say that. And he doesn't preach much about the Father. I've rarely heard him say very much about it. But he does somewhat. Okay? So I hope, let me just say this, I hope God deals with him and leads him to repentance. See? That would be a tremendous thing if he would. Okay? So Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, each one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you yourself shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promises to you and your children and to all of those who are far off, as many as the Lord our God, notice, may call. So how many do you suppose were there at the temple? We don't know. They could hold a lot of people there, many thousands. But only 3,000 were called and baptized. Okay? So that's quite a thing. All right? Now let's look at some other scriptures concerning Pentecost. All right? So that we see that it was kept. Let's come here to Acts 20 and verse 16. Okay. Now here's Paul making a trip to Jerusalem. So let's see why he hurried off so he could get there. Acts 20 and verse 16. For Paul had decided to sail by Ephesus. He didn't want to go by and stop at Ephesus because he did not want to spend time in Asia. For he hastened in order to be in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, if possible. So, now we find in another place, so let's look at that, that he stayed, let's come to that here, 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 8. So this shows that the holy days of God were kept outside of Jerusalem. Okay? This is verse 7, 1 Corinthians 16. For at this time I will not stop to see you, but hope at some time in the future to stay with you if the Lord permits. But I will remain in Ephesus until Pentecost. So in the first place, he went past it. In the next place, he stayed there in Ephesus and kept Pentecost. Okay? Now, we can do the same thing. We find the rest of the holy days in the New Testament are brought out in the book of Revelation. And we see the fulfillment there. So that's the key. This is where it all begins. And this is what God wants us to do. And to give us the understanding of what he is doing. Now think about that. Think about how many people there are in the world. And he says, many are called, but few are chosen. And so the few, that's what we have here. And the few, we have on the live streaming. Okay? But God has called us to develop the character that he wants in us spiritually so that we can be kings and priests, as it says in Revelation 20, to rule and reign with Christ. And when we come to trumpets, we're going to see how the return of Christ is actually, as revealed in the book of Revelation, going to take place. And it's going to be an awesome thing indeed. So I just wanted to review and rehearse these things in Colossians, the second chapter, and bring out some of the basic things concerning them so that we know and understand that it doesn't make any difference what anyone out, as we will say in the world, says about what we are doing, as long as we're doing the will of God and keeping His commandments and loving Him and doing what is right. So, we won't have live streaming on the Feast of Trumpets because all of you will have it at different times wherever you're located. But next Sabbath, we'll have live streaming. So we'll end services for today. And thank you for tuning in.